You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, it's time for us now to get into our next segment. And our segment is Ask a Pastor. Let's synchronize our watches. My time, so it's 14 and a half minutes. Beg your pardon, 16 and a half minutes before one. And let's get into our segment now. Pastor Chuanda joins us on the line to answer a question that we have long asked before, but we need some more perspective on this question. How do you approach the criticism that religion is used as a tool for control? Not too long ago, we had this question, and we're having Mfundi to come again to give us more perspective on it. Mfundisi Pastor Foster Skinner Chuanda joins us on the line. Good afternoon to you, Pastor. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Hello, thank you so much, sir. I'm here.
Mfundisi, do tell us, teach us, help us understand what we're dealing with here. We have had pastors helping us with this answer, would like more perspective, and that's why we're asking you as well. How do you approach the criticism that religion is currently being used as a tool for control?
I think I will approach it by joining the critics and then offering the best alternative.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll join the critics, I'll throw in my own criticism of religion, and then I will offer the best alternative. And the best alternative, to be didactic, is Jesus.
Okay, get into it. Get into it.
I don't think that Jesus is a religion.
Okay.
Jesus is not a religion.
Yeah.
Jesus is a person. Jesus is a God. Jesus is a way of life. Jesus is my righteousness.
Right.
Jesus is my savior.
Let's hear your criticism
my
first.
Offer to religion will be Jesus, but I want to critique religion as well.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead. Give us a criticism or your critique.
Right. Religion is man-made. It's a human product. It's a concoction of conflicting beliefs by embraced by communities or societies that are also not united. Religion embraces polytheism, atheism, syncretism, and the religion also has no truth. It has opinions of human beings. Religion combines faith with politics and power when it can be abused by those ruling the masses. Religion is immoral, murderous, atrocious, and terrorist. Religion is hypocritical in championing democracy, peace, and so on, while it also embraces autocracy and fighting and violence. Religion divides society while claiming to it's hypocritical because it divides society while claiming to unite it. It fuels wars and battles and invasions and these kind of fights while claiming to unite people or fight for peace. Religion claims to seek God and the meaning of life and purpose of life while actually defying the Creator and His eternal truths. Religion creates counterfeit scriptures and advances fundamentalistic and terrorist doctrines from those scriptures. Religion is only validated by the faith that the community that adheres to its claims and its tenets. So religion is a business. It's a control mechanism for godless masses. And the religion manufactures fears, conflicts, wars, and bloodshed, not peace. So to me, religion is sinful as any other human institution that is godless or has no Christ. So the criticism in the question is valid and scientifically observable amongst human beings. So I would like to close my critique by saying that God is not a Christian. God is not a Muslim. God is not a Judaistic. God is not Judaistic. God is not a religionist. God is love. God is peace. God is righteous. God is sinless, eternal, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent, and far beyond and also above religion.
So you said you're going to offer then. You're going to make an offer after your critique. Please offer us your alternative.
I'll make an offer. I thought that maybe I should say that there are some benefits of religion that have been researched on and have been presented by those who hold to, I mean, those who subscribe to functionalist perspective of religion. They say that religion answers to spiritual mysteries, provides emotional comfort in suffering, and also provides place for social interaction, and also facilitates a bit of unity for those who hold to the tenets of the religion. They also say that religion can be a measure of self-control, discipline among individuals. But I would like also to say that the history of Christianity, imperial regimes, divine right monarchies, state churches, Roman Catholicism, Inquisition, Crusade, Protestantism, religious genocides, Islamism, anti-Semitism, the Holocaust, speaks volumes of the anti-God nature of religion. So religion is a big business, fueling gulfs and gaps of inequality among society. And in hierarchical religious organizations or Christian denominations that are hierarchical, the affluent in the organization are at the top, the officers at the top and the immediate associates. The rest of the faith community is poor, but also financing the top. Very, very unfair. So the result is what? Disgruntled individuals, disgruntled groups forming offshoots and disintegrated sects of the same faith. So religion has failed. Only Jesus is the answer. So I offer my own alternative is Jesus. He is not a religion, but he is the very way of life. In Matthew 22, verse 37 to 40, he says, you must love the Lord the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. The entire law and the demands of the prophets are based on these commandments. So Jesus here is saying, you must prioritize God, love him, do his will, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And then in John 17, verse 3, he says, this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to the world. So to me, that is the only alternative, not all these religious things. I think they are dysfunctional.
So our question today, Pastor, says, how do you approach the criticism that religion is used as a tool for control? Who is using religion as a tool for control?
The ones using religion as a tool for control are political leaders and religious leaders. And sometimes religious adherents who become fundamentalistic, who think that what they believe is the only truth, the rest of the people who believe differently are in the wrong, and they must be forced to believe like them. Those also are trying to control the minds of others. So I would like to say that it's indeed a tool for oppression, a tool for oppression.
Help us understand how politicians are using religion as a tool for control.
Well, maybe it might be that now, as we talk, things have changed a little bit. But historically, there have been religious wars, crusades, there have been fights, trying to force one another to believe alike. And there have been leaders that have claimed to be divinely chosen by God to be autocratic and to demand obedience and worship. That has been a way of politicians claiming that because God ruled them, God chose them, then they must do all the injustices that they want, so in order to keep the people pacified, so that the people would not oppose them. So in these democracies, I would say that political figures, what they do, they embrace a faith, and a popular faith like Christianity. And in Christianity, you know, there are different types of Christian, apostolic, Catholic, Protestant, and so on. So they embrace a faith in order to just show that they are a part of the system. But you should also know that politicians, as we come to the end of this world, politicians are becoming, are beginning to think that the answer to these wars, to these fightings, is in religion. That if people follow a certain religion, then they are going to be well ordered, well controlled. So you find that even in the wars that you know, the wars that are happening right now, you see that there is a religious authority there that is also political as well. So by trying to combine a religion and the politics in the same authority, the politicians are endeavoring to control the masses using religion. I don't know whether I'm satisfying your question.
In the Bible, Pastor, the very same thing you're describing that is happening now, it happened in the Bible. The book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy are full of wars that were fought by Moses and Joshua. Mm-hmm. These men went ransacking nations and taking over their lands, burning their cities to the ground, killing their men, women, and children, looting their belongings and leaving a wreckage behind, up until they went to a land they claim was given to their father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They claimed their God gave them that land. Help me understand how different these exploits we are seeing today in the name of God to what we are seeing done by Moses and Joshua and their crusades still in the name of God.
That's a very important question. You see, if you are like me, a believer in the God of heaven, the Creator, you will discover that that Creator did not create people that were meant to be fighting. Not at all. God created people that were meant to live in love, in righteousness.
But according to Moses and Joshua, God told them to go and kill.
I'm trying to say that what you are seeing in the Bible, the fights that you are seeing in the Bible, the bloodshed that you are seeing in the Bible, was caused by sin, and God is responding to the situation that he has to solve the sin problem. So to solve the sin problem, he has to enter into a battle with the devil. And that battle with the devil happens in the way that is described in the Bible.
So was Moses and Joshua using religion to control the people and kill those they did not like?
I would like to tell you that religion never exists in before 17th century. There is no word called religion. There is no term like religion. Religion was coined by the West in the 17th century during the end of the Dark Ages. That's when they came with the word religion. So that word religion was not there.
My curiosity is not about the word.
When you say that they are dealing with religion, it's because you think that there was religion in that time. It wasn't religion. It was there was a theocracy. God was leading his people, the Israelites, and then those who went against them or who would not cooperate with them, God was eliminating them through those fights.
My curiosity, Mfundisi, is not necessarily about the word and its etymology. My curiosity is about the exploits of people who use the name of God, as they did in times past, antediluvian times, post-diluvian time, Exodus times, and in present-day society. People like they did in yesteryear claimed and hearkened to the word of God. They claim to be hearkening to the word of God, and yet they are still today. Israel is doing atrocities, as committing a genocide in Gaza, or claiming to be doing what God told them to do. Benjamin Netanyahu last year, is it 2 years back, claimed, "Remember, Amalek. when he told the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, to go and kill as they are doing right now, he used the words, "Remember Amalek." That's Benjamin Netanyahu. So he's quoting the words that were said by God to Moses. So whether it was called religion then or not, still the things that are done today are still done in the name of God as they were done yesteryear. So you're calling it religion today and you're saying it was not religion then, but it's still the same thing. People doing atrocious things, controlling people, all claiming to be under the control of God. Is it not so, Pastor?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That is sinful. So you find that in every war that is being fought on earth today, sin is involved. And the claim that we are doing this because God has sent us. Our city is an eternal city. And some are saying, no, God has told us that we should fight these people and eliminate them. They should not be on earth. All that claim is religionistic. I mean, it's from religion. And that's where I was telling you that I joined the criticism that religion is human manufactured.
But is that not the same thing that was done by Joshua and Moses?
If you're talking about Bible wars now, if you're talking about the Bible itself, because I wanted to tell you that the critics I joined are not critics like me. Those critics, most of those critics, they are people who don't even believe in God. And some of them believe in God, but they don't believe in the Bible. They have told us in their authorship that the Bible is a human manufactured book. It's not from God. There is no truth in the Bible. So those are the very critics who are now saying religion. Because what has happened, if I have to let you know, is that what has happened is that in the West, where our distorted Christianity came from, that's what I will tell you. Our distorted Christianity came from the West, from the whites, from those nations in Europe and America there. That kind of Christianity which came to us like this, it was distorted. And they think that the word religion replaces or can be interchanged with the word Christianity. But you see that the Christianity they are talking about was also distorted. So in response, the Asian religions there in the Asian side, in response to the atrocities of the West through the Crusades and so on, they came up with their own religion also, which is also atrocious. So you can see that it's a conflict which needs somebody to solve. That's what I'm offering you, Christ.
What is the difference? What is the difference between what this so-called control they're using now in the name of God and the control they used then in the name of God?
Can you lift up your voice a little bit? I can't hear you properly.
What is the difference, Mfundis? That's my question. What is the difference between what they are doing now in the name of God and what they did then in the name of God?
Aha! I like that question. It's coming clear now. The difference is that what happened in the Bible, was mandated by God, and God attended the battles. He was in the battles. He fought with them.
That's
he,
what they are saying said, today, Pastor.
He even said, leave them, let me wipe them out. Watch how I'm going to do it. God was fighting with those people.
That's so what they are claiming even now, Pastor.
Not now. God is not with them.
They are claiming God is with them. God told them to do what they are doing now.
Not now. You know that the Judaism of Netanyahu, which I've just talked about, doesn't accept Jesus Christ as a personal savior.
Yes.
They say that the Messiah has never come.
Even that Judaism did not accept him.
If they are Christless, how can they be merciful to somebody?
Moses was Christless, Mfundis. Joshua was Christless.
Who they are fighting with in Iran or whichever place, in Lebanon or whatsoever, they also have their own atrocious religion, which is also just as genocidal as well.
Moses and Joshua were Christless. Saul, the first king of Israel, was Christless.
Moses and Joshua. You remember? You remember Moses met Jesus at Shiram, which was burning.
No, he did not meet Jesus. That? There was no Jesus in times of Moses.
There was no Jesus.
Jesus was born in AD 33.
If there was no Jesus in the Old Testament, then who was it that Joshua met, who had dressed like a soldier? And Joshua approached him and said, "Are you against us or with us?" Who was that one?
And that being did not identify himself as Jesus either.
You see, that being was not who?
That being did not identify himself as Jesus. When Joshua asked, "Are you for or us or against?"
He didn't have to identify himself as Jesus. That's why I gave you John 17, verse 3, that this is eternal life, to know God and Jesus Christ whom we have sent. If you look into the Bible, you discover that you see Jesus from Genesis to Revelation, if you have spiritual eyes.
Yeah, I suspect I only have journalistic eyes, Mfunis, that only see what is written. I suspect.
Which eyes do you have?
Journalistic eyes, journalism. Mfunis, I can tell you what. Yeah, the eyes that have evidence. if I'm to write a story and present a story, I must present evidence, not what I feel. But I hear you, Mfunis.
You know, for me now. The Bible story,
yes,
is evidence. And secondly, my personal experience with Jesus is evidence.
And I'm saying, for instance, there's no evidence in scripture that says that being was a Jesus.
And what Christ has done to me, in me, then I can judge Netanyahu, I can judge Judaism, I can judge Islamism, I can judge any other religion with the eyes of Jesus and see that these people are godless as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. All right.
If they are shedding all that blood, if they are so merciless as to plan to bomb countries, to bomb nations, which God are they worshipping?
The same God of Saul who told Saul, "Go and kill the Amalekites."
Yeah, I'm telling you that in the Bible wars, God was leading those wars. And where they did not lead, they were defeated. Where God did not lead, they were defeated. Yeah. Where God led, they won the war.
Okay. All right, we're going to leave it there.
Where God was with them, let's go and fight. I'll fight for you. They won that war.
Right.
But where they went alone, they lost that war. So God was doing something because he was protecting this nation that had the inheritance of the covenant that had Jesus to be born from that kind of line. So he was dealing with the nations that would prevent or would confuse the birth of Christ from that nation of Israel. And look, when the nation of Israel received Jesus, they don't understand him, they don't know him. This is how they spread all over the world to meet the Holocaust and that, all those things. If they had accepted Jesus, they wouldn't be fighting with the nations right now.
All right.
They are in a religion that is Christless. That's why I'm offering the Muslims, I'm offering them Christ. The Jews, I'm offering them Christ. And all these Western Christianities, I'm offering them Christ. Even the denominations that we have here, I'm offering them Christ because the denomination themselves are not Christ.
Okay. All right. Mfunis, thank you very much. We're going to leave it there.
Structures, making money and enriching the few that they can enrich.
All right.
We need Jesus. We don't need denominations.
Got it. Thank you very much, Mfunis. I appreciate it. We have one more day together tomorrow. Looking forward to
you
it.
You look timid. What is making you?
No. I am taking it in, Mfunis. I am taking in what you're saying. I am swallowing it, and I'm letting it simmer in my mind. I am not timid at all. I'm actually looking forward to our conversation tomorrow.
All right. I like that. I like it.
Thank you very much.
God bless you, my friend.
Yes.
God bless you, my friend.
All right. Have a wonderful day, Father Mfunis.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.